Mark Chandler. He has been a part of Bible Fellowship Church for, I think, 50 years. I don't know. A long time. But he's been serving as an elder for at least the last 5-6 years, I would guess, something like that. All right, whatever. I'm terrible with time. So, Mark, if you can come up here and bring the word of the Lord, we would be grateful for it.
Good morning, everyone. The title of the message this morning is Power for Peter. We're going to focus on God's grace. God's grace, God's unmerited favor shown by Jesus to Peter and the other Galilean disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. And our verse on which we're going to focus is Acts 1:8. Wait, and you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what I'd like to do today is celebrate Dependence Day. We're celebrating July 4th, Independence Day, but today, and I believe every day, we should focus on our dependence on God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that in the life of Peter and the other Galilean disciples. In order to understand the Galileans and understanding Peter and these disciples, understanding what it meant to be Galilean, I think it's very important. And for you to, trivia question here. How many of the disciples were Galilean? 11 of them. Only one was Judean. Any guess on who that was? Judas. Judas was the only Judean out of the group. And a lot of times when we read the Jews, what they're speaking of are the Judeans. So I'll give you a little bit of background on what it meant to be Galilean. And you have to go back a ways. Now last week, is it? There we go. There. Oh, I think. No. How's that? Well, yeah. Good. How's that? Oh, yes. Yeah, I'll do stage voice. You have to go back a ways. Last week, Dr. Hard, Chip, talked about the law being given to Moses. And as he's coming down the mountain, moral mayhem is taking place, led in part by Aaron. Aaron gathered up the gold that had been given to them by the people of Egypt as a lovely parting gift. And said, hey, you folks get out of here. So they're gathering the gold, and Aaron fashions it into a golden calf. And they attribute the deliverance from Egypt to this golden calf. And it's only by God's grace that God did not wipe out Aaron right then. But later, Aaron is called to be the priest of God. And if, in order to be a priest, you had to be in the line of Aaron. God's grace reigning supreme all the time. Now, Aaron did accept and own up to his issue there with that. He did stumble, but God's grace is sufficient. Then we move to Joshua. Joshua led the people into the promised land. Now, they didn't take it completely. Joshua's interesting. He's a type of Jesus and a deliverer. Did you know that Joshua is not his given name? His given name was Hosea. And there, Joshua was given as a title, deliverer. Peter is not his given name. His given name is Simon, Simon, son of John. Jesus gives that title to Peter, Peter the Rock. Peter was not a common given name at that time. God's grace, shown through Jesus, in the life of Peter and the rest of the Galilean disciples through the power of the Spirit. But God's Spirit is working. His grace is working all the time throughout their history, from the call from Abraham all the way through. So we're into the promised land now. Then we get into the time of the judges. And the time of the judges is characterized by people did what was right in their own eyes. Their eyes must not have been very good because it's characterized by unfaithfulness and having their focus go away from God. God would continually call them back. And he continued and continued and continued to call them back. We had the line of the judges, who were mainly priests, up to the point of Samuel. And the people asked for a king. Partly asked for a king because they wanted to be like the other nations. God said, I am your king. But the other reason why the people asked for a king is because Samuel's sons were so bad. They were so bad. And so God gives them a king, Saul. Saul was not a faithful man. He looked good. He looked the part, but he was not faithful. But God is faithful and worked continually. His grace working continually in spite of everyone's disobedience. God is faithful. And what we need to always celebrate is Dependence Day, to be completely dependent on him. So we get David. We get David, a man after God's own heart. We get David, who also lost his focus for a time, committed adultery, arranged for the killing of one of his mighty men, the husband of the woman he committed adultery with. But David was a man after God's own heart. He repented. And it was after that time where he was inspired to have the temple built. And God told him that, no, it's not going to be you who builds the temple. It's going to be your son Solomon. The son of he and Bathsheba. God's grace reigning supreme. Always reigning supreme. Solomon. Now you have, he asked for wisdom. He received it. Wrote many things, built many things, took the resources and the plans that David had laid out, had this magnificent temple built. It was the most incredible thing people had seen during that time. But Solomon lost his focus. He forgot his complete and utter dependency on God. And he was distracted. He had a son, Rehoboam, who was to be king and established as king to take his place as successor. Rehoboam obviously did not read the wisdom literature that his father had written. Now, his father seemed to have forgotten a lot of it as well. Rehoboam makes a really bad decision. And the kingdom is split. The kingdom is split. Understanding Galileans, the kingdom is split. Jeroboam takes over, so you have the southern kingdom, Judea, Judah, and a bit of Benjamin, centered in Jerusalem with the temple. You have the other tribes moving out and establishing their own king. And this is too bad not to read here what they did. Jeroboam thought to himself, and this is in 1 Kings 12, thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to the Lord. Rehoboam, the king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam. After seeking advice, the king made 2 golden calves. He said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One he set up in Bethel, the other in Dan. Southern kingdom, Jerusalem, Judea. Northern kingdom, all the rest, centered in Samaria. Centered at this different place of worship. The people went on, and you had southern kingdom, northern kingdom, and we'll do, we did some numbers earlier, we'll do some numbers now. They had a series of kings. Southern kingdom, depending on how you rate good, between 5 and 8 kings out of 20. Really bad. Northern kingdom, 19 kings, 0 good. That's not a very good batting average. God continues to warn them, to encourage them, to come back, to get your focus, understand your dependency on me. They don't do it. They're captured by the Assyrians. The Assyrians move mainly into the capital area, Samaria, and the folks there want to worship the god of that area because they believe that's the right thing to do. And so they get together with the religious leaders, and you can only imagine what they came up with, because they were taken captive and conquered because of their lack of faithfulness. And they are teaching now the Assyrians how to follow God, using the first five books of the Bible. These are the Samaritans and the Samaritan religion that was set up. So that gives you a flavor of who the Samaritans were. The rest of the northern kingdom, Galilee, continues on. Now, Jerusalem fell about 200 years after that. And then let's fast forward to the present, Peter's time. Galileans, they were a whole lot more interaction with Gentiles. In fact, Nazareth was a predominantly Gentile town. All of these people, so it's context on Gentiles. And then you have Samaria, and you have Judea and Jerusalem. Peter's called. He's called. You know the story. Jesus is teaching, commandeers Peter's boat. Afterward, he tells Peter to throw the net on the right-hand side of the boat. Peter says, fished all night, no catch, but since you say so, yes, I'll do it. Peter, relatively uneducated by most counts. Mandatory education, Bible education, was done throughout for boys, girls optional, to 12 years old. And essentially what it was memorizing the Bible, the scriptures. So these kids knew it. So it's like Awana handbook time every day, memorizing. Peter then would have gone to work. Others that were more interested and had the means had their sons go on to 18. The Judean schools were better. The Jerusalem schools were best. The Galilean schools were just okay. So, you have Peter called by God, by Jesus. Peter is overwhelmed by the catch of fish. The nets break, start to break. Peter says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." He says this over and over and over again to Peter and the rest of the disciples. Do not be afraid. What's our problem in many cases? We're afraid. We can drive out fear as we replace it with dependency on God. God's grace, God's unmerited favor, shown through Jesus to Peter through the power of the Holy Spirit. We see it over and over. So Peter is called. He gets unmerited favor. He would not be one, nor the rest, who you would choose. feeding of the 5,000. Jesus tells the disciples to push off from shore. They do. I'm going to dismiss the crowd and go up and pray. Probably wondered a little bit, well, all right, how's he going to get across? But they trust him that much. He appears to them walking on the water. They are scared. They are very afraid. They think he's a ghost. He says, don't be afraid. Peter says, if it's you, really, tell me to come out. Peter comes out. He takes that step of faith. He's dependent on God. He looks at the waves. He goes down. Now we, being less gracious, would have been tempted to let Peter bob for a little bit to teach him a lesson. But no, as soon as Peter cries out to Jesus, reaches down his hand, and he says, why were you afraid? Why did you doubt? Jesus asks over and over and over again to the disciples, why were you afraid? Why did you doubt? And really, when we doubt, we're doubting God's grace to us. We need to celebrate Dependence Day every day, every day. Peter makes the great confession, as it's called. He asks them, who do people say I am? And sometimes we think that those were weak answers. Those were really strong answers. Moses, Elijah, the prophet. But who do you say that I am? Peter, again, steps forward. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And Jesus says, that was a gift given to you by God. Peter showing great faith, great understanding. Then Jesus lays out, and he does it a number of times, what's going to happen to him. He's going to be arrested, tried, convicted, executed, and in 3 days rise again. Peter says, God forbid that that happen. Immediately, after acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah, tells him no. Now that's bold. It tells him no. Jesus says, you're not thinking the things of God, but the things of man. Isn't that our problem? We're afraid of everything that's going on in our world. Jesus says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. He asks, why did you doubt? Peter, over and over again, is doing what he thinks Jesus wants and needs, and not listening to Jesus. Had he been listening to Jesus, the response would have been very different. But Jesus, over and over, including back when the time is near, where he says, I'm going to go be arrested, tried, convicted, executed, and in 3 days rise again. He tells them that in the same context that he sets up the Lord's Supper, what we just celebrated. He's illuminating the Passover Seder to say this is about me. And then he tells them, this is the way it's going to happen. And in the midst of that, we see in one of the Gospels, they're arguing about who's the greatest. These guys are amazing. We're amazing. God's grace is even more amazing. And it all happens the way he lays it out. He explains to Peter that he says, once again, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm willing to die for you. All the other disciples say, I'm willing to die for you if that's what it takes. Peter fails. They all fail. We would do away with them. Say that they're not up to standard. But God doesn't deal with us that way. He continues to work with us as we learn dependence on him. Peter is restored. He's told to meet in Galilee. It ran away from me. It happens the way Jesus lays it out. He's arrested, tried, convicted, executed. Rises again. And we get in Luke 24 such a beautiful commentary. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. These were the two guys on the road to Emmaus that Jesus, they didn't recognize him. He's risen from the dead. He shows them who he is. He explains the scriptures to them and how it had to happen this way. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. God in his grace did not give up on Simon, Peter, but had work for him to do. And he's assured that when he comes back to encourage his brothers. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened, recurring theme, and thought, they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do your doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still disbelieving, for joy they were marveling, and he said, do you have something to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." When he met with them, after that, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When we come to faith, we receive that same Holy Spirit. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. And they were told to wait, to receive power, to receive instruction, to wait. The characteristic was to fear, not to wait. He told them, and what we need to do is to celebrate Dependence Day, our complete and total dependence on him. The disciples did everything in their own strength, trying to do what they thought was best for Jesus. What we're called to do is rest in him, trust in him, abide in him, walk with him, cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us, and allow his Spirit to work. We want to do what's right and avoid what's wrong. We cannot do it aside from the power of God. Acts 1:8, when you wait and you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These Galileans had no right, no background to be witnesses in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or to the ends of the earth. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, as they celebrated their dependence on Jesus and for us, we need to allow his Spirit to work in our lives. We want to avoid bad things and we want to do good things. If we're doing it in our own strength, that will fail. If we allow him to work by resting in him, he will succeed and will create a revolution in our lives as we serve him and celebrate Dependence Day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for going to the cross for us, for paying the price for us. And we thank you for not leaving us alone, but you send your Spirit, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, is inside of us, that worked in those Galilean disciples, is at work in us as we allow you to work and acknowledge our complete and total dependence on you. For Lord, we thank you and praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand together.